Philippians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 8, Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. The God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, a lot said in these few verses that we've read this morning, but I'm interested especially in verse 9 this morning. He said, the things you have learned, the things you have received, and the things you have heard. Now, he separates that into different words. Things you have learned. You might say, well, you know, I received that. Well, he said, things you've learned, things you have received, and things that you have heard. You do that. Now, information. In this day and time, we certainly do. And the Lord has told us that, you know, as far as our minds are concerned, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And there's many that are, well, they are considered their Creator. There's some that's not. So we've done different things with that information. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's some that they've gotten saved and they begin to add to their faith virtue and the virtue knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and charity. That makes them. So those people, they are maturing as a child of God. Others that they are not being renewed in the spirit of their mind. They choose not to learn. They choose not to receive what they maybe have heard at church or what they, you know, maybe pick up their Bibles and read. So we hear much. We receive a lot of information. We talked about some things in Sunday school this morning, social media, and it is absolutely amazing the information that we process in a day's time now. And even, you know, the things that maybe a Christian would do to try to do good, maybe get on and put a Bible verse on Facebook or on Twitter, on these other different medias, and or maybe to get on and try to encourage someone, that's competing with a lot of other information. And so, you know, we're constantly, maybe we're learning, you know, there's different ways to learn. You know, some people, you know, in order to learn, they memorize for a test, maybe. And they remember it for a short period of time, just long enough to take the test. And afterwards, it just kind of fades away and they don't put it to use. And they forget about it, maybe to never go back to that thought again. There's others that maybe they learn by picturing things or to see. Well, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Whenever I learn, I like to try to picture. Whenever I study in Scripture, I like to try to picture what's going on. Try to walk a mile in their shoes. Brother Mike, I like to picture the situation that I'm reading about, to David and Goliath. I like to try to picture how that David walked up on that battlefield and the faith that he had as he would fight against Goliath. And so, you know, that's a way to learn. Try to picture the word or picture the story or picture the problem that's at hand. And there's those that learn by experience. That's hot. Some people, they don't learn that until they find out by experience. Well, that's hot. Generally, when we find that out, Brother Jake, we don't have to learn that lesson again. We know that. It has been filed away in a portion of the brain that we remember from now on. Don't touch that. It's hot. Experience. And then there's things that I believe we can learn by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And whenever I trusted in Jesus, I learned some things about Him. I learned that you can stand on the promises. I learned that, and I still learn that today. Whenever I choose to trust the Lord, I learned some things about Him. I learned that He's always trustworthy. Now, 50 years ago, and I can't go back that far, so I'm told. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, man might be burdened during a message such as this morning. You come to church, you receive a message from the Lord, and that message pricked your heart. That ever happened to you? You go to church and the message pricks your heart. Well, you know, 50 years ago, someone might go to church and the same message pricked their heart, and yet they go out tomorrow, go to work, go out into the field, or they go to wherever the workplace may be, and they would ponder the message. They didn't have a lot of other things that they were thinking about, and of course I say that, and I was not there at the time again, but the information was not nearly as competitive as it is today. While they maybe are pondering on the message, they didn't have social media that they had to scroll through. It's competing for their time and their thoughts. They didn't have a text message going off in their pocket every 5 minutes. It's competing for their thoughts and their time. And I'm not just up here preaching against those things this morning, but really to help us to be aware of how we process information. Once upon a time, one may hear the message of God and they have time to meditate, and they chose to meditate on the Word of God and on the message of God. And the lost sinner, his heart was pricked by the message of God, and he maybe go all day and all night, and the next day thinking about that and dwelling on it. But now so many things interrupt that process. And I want you to be aware this morning, the message we receive today competes for time with a lot of other information that you have in your life. So a man in the field, he didn't have to worry about somebody calling him because he didn't have a phone. He didn't have to worry about a lot of other things that we deal with today. Life has changed. And we can complain about that, Brother Byron. We can point fingers about it. We can talk about how terrible it is and how we wish we could go back and all of that. But the reality is, that's the life we're living today. That's what we're dealing with. And a lost sinner, even though the Lord may prick your heart, it's very easy to get occupied with something else. So we need to be aware of how we process information. The things we receive in Christ, we are to do. The things, let's go back and read again, verse 9, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You do those things. It's important when you come to hear the message of God that you do something with it. It's important when God convicts your heart that you pay Him attention and that you allow Him to do what is needed to be done in your life. Don't just put it off. Don't file it away. You know, it shouldn't be shipped off to the brain's filing cabinet. I think about, you know, and of course a lot of smart people through the years, and I say that very liberally when I say it, a lot of smart people, a lot of people smarter than I am, they have taken the brain and they've tried to dissect the brain, and they've said this compartment and that compartment, and over here in the hippocampus, that is where that you store long-term things, and really, that's where you put those things that you procrastinate. I'll take care of that later. And then there's the frontal cortex. And that's where you place things that's important. That's where You put things that need to be taken care of immediately. Now, whether all that's true or not, that's kind of beside the point. Whether somebody's smart enough to take a brain and dissect it or plug up electrodes to it and, you know, show this part's lighting up and that part's not, it may be that it's lighting up because it's getting left out. We don't know. But to the best of our ability, man's try to understand the way we think and the way we process information. How many of you ate breakfast with a spoon or a fork this morning? You would have never thought about that again if I hadn't asked that question. You know why? Because we stored that away somewhere in the brain, and you know it's that type of information that really it don't matter. It's useless. So we might call that apathy. It's something that really don't concern us. And so I choose not to think about that. We have to do that with information. And especially in our day and time, because we process thousands of bits of information every single day. And so we have to do something with it. Let me ask you this. What did I preach on Wednesday night?
Being churlish.
Being churlish. Thank you, Brother Chris. You just helped out a lot of people.
I've used that a couple times.
Well, that's good. You're using it. That's what we need to do with it. But you know, you think about that and how many of us, what we do with that, we store that away just about in the same place we put the spoon and fork. And information that we may never think of again. And yet the Lord says, those things that you receive, you do. You know, you think about that the first time you held the baby in your arms. We store that in a different place, don't we? Now, wherever we store it and whatever you want to call it, that's beside the point again. But it's more important to us. It's precious. We want to go back and we want to think on those things. It's precious to us. It didn't get shipped off simply to a part of the brain where we won't think about it anymore. It's something that matters. So you say, how does all this affect me, preacher? Well, listen, we need to be ready to receive the Word of God and more than our necessary food. It should be important. When we come to church, we should come to church hungry and we should leave filled up, and it should be something that was well pleasing and something that will do us some good and help us to grow. But I tell you what, apathy has kind of found its way into the hearts and minds of many of God's children. Many of us Christians. And I tell you this, half-heartedness never has nor ever will be acceptable unto the Lord. To be half-hearted on things. God wants us to hear and to do. To receive, to learn, and it be important to us. Look at Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, sat by the seaside. Verse 2, and great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he went into a ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The fowl came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples had some questions for him about that. Why do you speak in parables? And so in verse 18, he explains. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sowed in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and entereth with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Some are hearing, some are processing, some are poorly prioritizing in life. So I ask, what are we doing with all our information that we receive? What are we doing with what we receive whenever we come to church? What are we doing when we receive the word by simply sitting down and studying or just reading through God's word? I say this, some are taking it to heart. Some receive it and they meditate on it. They think about it. They take it to heart. And it does good. And that's what I'm trying to encourage us with this morning, is that we receive what God has for us and let it do us some good so that we can produce fruit in this world. But then there's some that are letting the cares of the world choke out God's word. There's some that they receive it, but they're really not hearing it like they should. They're not applying it like they should, and it quickly goes away as well. Salvation is more than just mentally receiving something. It is hearing, yes. Faith cometh by hearing. But it's more than that. It's believing in your heart the Lord Jesus. And we're not talking about the pumping heart in our chest, but the inner man. It's being resolved that this is important. And I'm going to accept for what it's worth. I'm going to accept salvation. I'm going to accept the Word of God. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. We do have to hear. We do have to put it ahead of the cares of the world, don't we? We do have to hold on lest the devil come along and snatch the message away from us. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't just take the gospel, don't just take Jesus Christ. You say, well, I know I need to be saved, or I plan on being saved, and then ship it off and, well, I'll deal with it sometime later on. I'll handle that later. I want to encourage you with all your heart to handle it now. To seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Don't put it off another day. Today is the day of salvation. And it's so important that it's more than just hearing that you receive. You know, Paul preached to King Agrippa, didn't he? And as I told you, I like to picture the things that we learn. And I see the Apostle Paul, and he's standing before this king, King Agrippa. And of course, you have Festus there with him, and you have the high priest and different ones, all these very important people in the room. And Paul is standing there to give an account for himself, and he is evermore preaching to those men. He's given them his testimony, how that the Lord came to him, and how that now he's a preacher to the Gentiles, born out of due season. And you have old Festus there, and he just kind of laughs out loud at him. Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. That's how he reacted to what Paul was saying. That's how he was receiving. This man is crazy. Crazy talk. But Festus is not doing that. Festus, you can almost see the wheels turning because what Paul says next. He gives up on Festus. I've lost him. And he turns to King Agrippa and he says, King Agrippa, he said, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest the prophets. And he said, besides, all this is not done in a corner. He's talking about Jesus now. And everything he had just testified up to that point centered around Christ. And he said, you know that there's some things going on about Jesus that's not lining up. You know that. People trying to hide things and trying to deny things, but you know something's not right there. You know that. And he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You've almost got to me with a message there, and I can see him pondering that and chewing on it and thinking about it and maybe even wanting to believe it. But he makes a choice not to. He chooses not to believe. You almost persuade me. He had processed a lot of information at that point. And all that lacked was for him just to take it to heart. Just to believe it with all his heart. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But he wouldn't do that. There comes a point when a lost sinner must simply receive by faith. You just have to believe. You've learned what you can learn. You have accepted the facts, or you've processed the information. You've processed the facts. You've taken the message of God and you've thought about it and you've pondered it. But there comes a time where you just have to give up and say, you know what, I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to believe not it, but Him. I'm going to believe Christ. And what you will learn at that point is that Christ keeps His promises. That Christ will save all those that believe on Him. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus and he had some questions, and he's trying to put everything together. Logically, he's trying to understand what's going on. And we know that there are a teacher come from God, but because no man can do what you've done except God's with him. Well, we've accepted that. There's no other explanation for what we've seen in you, so we've accepted that you're a good man that's come from God. We've accepted that. And Jesus says, except you be born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. You got to do something with Christ. And he asked the question, he said, "What? Born again, can a man go back into the mother's womb, be born a second time?" Still, he's trying to figure everything out. And Jesus tells him, he says, "Marvel not at this." Don't marvel at it. Just believe it. Just believe it. Lost sinner, I want to encourage you this morning. Marvel not at salvation, at being lost, at Christ. By faith, just believe it. You may say, "Well, Brother Brad, it's hard to believe something I can't comprehend." No, it's not. We do that all the time. We don't know about the wind. Jesus said that. We don't know about the wind, but we still know it's there. We believe it. We see the effects of it. You may not know everything there is to know about Christ, but you see the effects of Him. You see how He changes lives. By faith, I want to encourage you to see the unseen. By faith, I want to encourage you to trust and be saved. Don't just believe all the facts about Christ, and don't just believe the history about Him, and or that he was just a good man, or that maybe he's the key to all of this, or maybe, you know, he's the one that has saved some, but accept that he's your Savior. Believe it. Believe that he will save you. Or better yet, just surrender completely and trust him for salvation. And based on the Word of God, he has saved you when you do that. Let him save you this morning. We'll ask for a song.